What up?
What up? This is Chris.
This is Rob. Wait. I'm Chris. That's Rob. I hope you enjoy our show. Have a great time.
Everybody, and what up? Welcome to What Up with Rob and Chris, and we have an amazing guest here today.
Yes, we do.
Shamrock Gregory.
Hi, Shamrock.
Hi. See you. Nice to meet you.
Yes. Well, we were excited to have you on the show because, well, you've been through some stuff, so you can allude to that. But there's also some really beautiful things that you do and you've been a part of your whole life. And I think what you went through and what you do probably helped you through a lot of that. So you had cancer.
I did.
And what type of cancer did you have?
I had ovarian cancer, and I had a rare type. So the most common type of ovarian cancer is sort of fibrous and can metastasize really. Usually by the time people know that they have it, it's already metastasized. So they call it the silent killer. It like goes through the body pretty quietly. And by the time people are like, oh, it's everywhere. So the type that I had makes up less than 5% of all ovarian cancers. So on the downside, the doctors didn't know what to do with it because they don't see it very often. So they didn't know what type of chemo or what the right plan was. On the upside, you can have upsides to cancer. It was really fast growing, but not fast to metastasize. So the tumor itself got really big, really fast. So I found it before it like went anywhere else. So I had ovarian cancer the first time in 2011, my left ovary had surgery, was cleared by Stanford and all kinds of multiple doctors. Cause they were again, like, what do we do with this? And then it came back in 2012. And at that point I had a full hysterectomy and 7 months of chemo. And I'm my nerves cancer free. So
it's awesome. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
You know, would you like to share what some of your signs and symptoms were for some of our guests out there so they could look for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in my early 30s when the first tumor showed up, and I was having nausea after I would eat. Like if I sat down and had like a really good Italian meal and like any sort of like meal of substance, I just felt pretty nauseous afterwards. Tired, like a little bit more tired. So like fatigue is kind of one of them. But the reason they call it a silent killer is because any of these things can be attributed to like 9 million other things. You're like, I'm working really hard or blah, blah, blah.
I ate too much.
Oh, I just dairy. I shouldn't, you know, whatever. So it's easy to kind of write those things off, but typically it can be bloating, fatigue, nausea. And then the weird thing for me is that I was having back pain. And at that time I had really good core strength and the tumor was being pushed from my abs into my back. It was like really tiny. And so I was going to a chiropractor like all the time, like, oh, my back is like killing me. It's just a weird thing for me. And then when it came back the following year, I actually felt it. Like I could see it in my stomach. And I knew right off the bat what it was. So.
Wow. Yeah. Straight to the docs.
Right to the doctor. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. We really do appreciate that. And it's also good for some folks out there that watch the show. You never know. They may come up with those signs and symptoms or feel something and go from there.
Yeah, you know, my mom had been diagnosed with breast cancer about 5 months before I was diagnosed, and it's not genetic. We both tested negative for the genes, so who knows where that came from. But going through, you know, I was like taking with her and she was in the hospital, so I'm like eating hospital food and like, well, I'm not riding horses as much as I usually do. People say you gain weight in your 30s. I mean, I was just like writing stuff off, you know, the whole time, but like, well, of course I'm tired. Of course, you know, but no, about 4 months later.
How long was that you did you battle it really?
The first diagnosis was February of 2011. And I finished chemo in February of 2013. And I had a port in my chest, and that came out in March of 2013. Nice. And then it's, you know, 5 years from there is where I saw doctors like every 3 months, like between a gynecologist or an oncologist. And so lots of blood work. Once a year, they would do a CT scan or something to monitor. And then at the 5 year mark, I honestly thought I was, that was just my life. From like now on, I'm just like a cancer survivor, and I would see a doctor all the time. And at the 5 year mark, my oncologist was, or my gynecologist was retiring, and I didn't know that. And she'd seen me through, you know, all of it. And on our last appointment, she's like, "Well, you're good. This is it." And I'm like, "What do you mean this is it?" And she's like, "I mean, you don't need to come to the doctor so much anymore." And then she was, you know, retiring too. So I wasn't, so now I'm like, oh, so that was in the past. And so now I'm like 4 years from that 5 year mark. Now I realize I don't have to see doctors all the time anymore. And there's like right. a normal life to have.
So, well, I'm
go.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. So knowing you for, you know, back in the day and stuff, and then, in, you know, you've always been the most positive, happy, smiley, love everybody type of person. And then you went through your cancer.
Yeah.
How did you keep the positivity up? Were you just the same Shamrock that always was? Or did you have those days that you were just like, "I just can't be Shamrock today"? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the journey for me, like in life, is, you know, to find balance. And so, like, I'm naturally pretty optimistic, and I really love people, and I can reframe situations like that. Like, "Oh, I missed the flight. Well, probably would have crashed." Like, my brain just like does this thing like pretty easily. But as I, you know, as you move through life and you like learn lessons and learn. So I think we have to struggle and to grow, and we have to like really be happy. You also have to really be comfortable with anger, and anger is, it's just a response to a boundary that was crossed. You know, it's like, it's a healthy emotion, and it certainly took me a long time. I think I repressed it like all through my teenage years and probably early 20s. Would like feel guilty if I got mad at somebody, or, you know, so getting more comfortable with that is really important. And I absolutely had dark days, and I switched doctors a few times. You know, when I would get one that was kind of pessimistic or like bulldozed over me, whereas maybe when I was in, if it had happened to me when I was younger, I may have just like taken it, whereas it, luckily I was, you know, in my 30s and kind of like, "Oh no, you're not the person to keep me alive." That's like, well, you know, or if something felt really like unfair or wrong, I'm certainly better at voicing it now than I was before. But yeah, I've certainly gotten mad and sad and
Yeah. No, I get it. Now, for you with both bouts, would you say that you had two different mindsets, or would you say you had the same mindset going through everything?
Good question. The first one was weird. So I had a cyst, or what I thought was an ovarian cyst, had the surgery. After surgery, they said, "Well, we tested it and it was cancer." And then the first doctor was like, "Maybe we should go in and do another surgery and like do some biopsies." But she, in the appointment, was really like rude to me, and it sort of like traumatized me a little bit. And so I ended up switching doctors. I had a really good friend that I saw right after the appointment that was like, "Oh no, that's not the right doctor. I've been through cancer before. We need to get you a better doctor." You know, and so we switched doctors, and she was great and taught me a lot about advocating and like bringing somebody with you, because you're just deer in headlights in there, right? So then I had this like super strong, fun friend with me. So then I got a doctor too, who's like, well, I don't really believe in doing biopsies and surgeries because we can miss the cancer. I think you should go right to chemo. But I don't know what kind of chemo to give you. And I'm like, I don't want chemo. Like, oh, this sounds terrible. And so she's like, well, I'm going to send you to oncologist number three to decide what kind of chemo. And I get to oncologist three and she's like, it's such a rare type of cancer, of ovarian cancer. We don't know what type of chemo to give you. And I was like, so out of these three things, what do I do? And of course, in my mind, I'm like, no chemo, run really fast away from this whole diagnosis. Like, I don't, like, maybe that was all I had to go through was this one surgery. So I'm like living my life. I didn't slow down. Didn't like change really what I was eating. And I just tried to like outrun it. Like truly, like the whole first year, I was just like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. And I would like visit a, you know, doctor here and there, but I'm like, I felt good. My energy was good. And then the second time around was like, fuck. Okay. So something in my life is out of balance. What can I change? How can I not go through this again? Like, what do I need to do? So on that one, I slowed down a lot more. I allowed people to help me a lot more. The surgery was much bigger. It ended up being like a full hysterectomy. And on that diagnosis, I kind of knew chemo was like probably the right thing to do. So yeah, the first one, I think I was in denial. And on the second one, I was
gonna tackle it.
Yeah. I've turned around, like faced it really like more head on.
So I want to bring up you're one of your biggest loves. And I'm going to throw you off because you think I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to throw another one. Tell me about your love of old cars. Because we'll get to the other one. Yes, I did. Because when I met you, you had an old car.
I did have an old car.
What did you have?
I still have it. A 1956 Chevy 210 sedan.
I told you. It's awesome, isn't it? Okay, so we got that out of the way. Let's get to the real one. The real one.
Technically, it's my mom's car. And when I was 17, she gave it to me. And honestly, there's nothing better than like driving an old car around.
I loved being in your car.
Friends everywhere are like, yeah.
That's awesome.
That car is amazing.
Sorry, I just drank some water and it literally went down the wrong
path. No, I love it. My whole family, like we're absolute like car people. My dad has a 1926 Star car, which has like wooden spokes on the tire and a crank in the front.
Look at how she just like blowing like, out.
She didn't also about things I love. Yeah, no, my grandpa on my mom's side collected Nash Metropolitans. Had like tons of them. My sister still has one. My sister's in a car club.
That's so cool. I told you. Cool. Yeah.
That was a good question. I didn't know you were going there.
Not bad for a couple of big goofballs.
All right. So let's get to the other love. And I think this also, it's revolved around your life. Then, now, and I also want to know how important they were when you were going through that. Horses. You love animals.
I do.
But horses are your life. I mean, yeah. It sums up Shamrock, right?
Yeah.
So where did you start with horses? Let's start there. You were barrel racing? You were...
Yeah. So barrel racing came like in my teens. So funny. Actually, I had there was a photo of me at like a year and a half that's on a, like one of those like wonder horses, like on springs. And I used that picture as an invite to like my 30th birthday. Like, oh my God, how am I turning 30? And so like riding, I don't know if it came from that or if it's just somewhere, I don't know if like horse people are just crazy in our souls from like generations.
Oh, absolutely. So, no,
for sure. I just don't know where it comes from. But yeah, I was absolutely horse crazy since before I can remember. And I started riding when I was first grade, so like 5 or 6 years old. My parents bought me a horse for my 10th birthday. And then, and I rode English at first, which I don't know if you know the difference, but I rode English. And then at age 10, switched over to Western. And I've had horses my whole life and still have a bunch of them.
Nice. Yes.
And I'm lucky enough to do it for a living.
Yes.
My inner 12-year-old is like, yes, good job.
That a girl.
So I've been wondering if when you got your diagnosis, did you go right to the horses?
I did. I mean, I've gone, so interesting. I mean, I've gone there in like my lowest points, right? Like bad breakups, fight with friends when you're in high school and you think that's your whole world. Like it's always been like my place of comfort, and it's also been like all my biggest accomplishments. Anytime I've gotten too full of myself, I've immediately humbled. Anytime I have been like scared of something, it's like I've had to learn how to face that. So I think they've like absolutely shaped me in every way, and like brought like taught me strength and taught me how to like embody that. And so I definitely went right there. And on, you know, when I had the surgery in 2012, I didn't go to the barn for 3 months. And that was the longest that I have gone without seeing horses since age 5. Wow. It was like really hard, but I wasn't physically able to.
Do you find that like it was a long period of time there? When you went back, was there an excitement with the horses when they saw you?
Was it a little different?
It's super
different. And, you know, and I was really different. So horses react a lot off of like body language. And I'm sure I smelled different. I had like chemo. And I was really like small and pretty fragile, like feeling really fragile. The ones that that were a little bit more like fearful, like they all reacted like differently. The ones that I thought were going to be like, hey, good to see you, were like, whoa, you're different, and like didn't know what to make of it. Wow. And then I had other ones that like really showed up. You know, it's interesting. I actually had the same experience with the people in my life. Like, you know, I think having a cancer diagnosis, like some, you know, I had friends that had lost other friends to it and were terrified. And other people, like if you haven't been through something, you kind of don't know what to do. So you're like, hey, if you need anything, let me know. Like, I didn't even know what I needed, right? And it's hard to ask for help. I wouldn't. So it's like a sweet sentiment. And then people that I didn't know that well, I mean, I had people obviously that I knew really well that showed up like super good too. But the biggest surprise to me was people that I didn't know that well. So as a lady, I had a group of clients at another barn. So I was training at 3 barns at the time. And there was like, I guess a meeting about me at this other barn. Everyone was pretty worried and like, well, what do we do? And there's this one lady that I had only met once, and she clearly has like, she knew what to do, like had been through some sort of situation like this before. So she got everyone together and was like, oh, we'll put together a website and we'll just pick out days, and she's going to need food and she'll probably need some acupuncture. So we'll just put together, I'll make a calendar and you guys can just sign up and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And so everyone that was like wanting to help had no idea what to do. She just like made this website with this calendar, and then every week somebody had signed up and would like bring food or bring something and drop it off at the house. And she even said like, you know, don't knock or like try to come in or socialize, like literally just leave it. It's just there. And and I so needed that, but I wouldn't have even known to ask for it.
And it's hard to ask for it.
So hard to ask for help, right? Like, for
most, but there's a bunch of people that you probably don't know, right? They just were dropping off food. It was just there.
Yeah.
A bunch of little angels.
Totally. Like a bunch of angels. Plus then they feel good. They feel like they got to do something. And it's so, Like, it's such a good feeling to like do for others, but not everybody in the world is as graceful, like receiving help or like asking for help. Mm-hmm. And it takes, you have to, like, now I know how to show up, right? Now I'm, because people showed up for me. But before that, I wouldn't have known what to do.
Yeah. By going through it, you now know when somebody's going through something that you can give to them.
Oh, yeah.
Without intruding, right? Because that's the big thing. You said, like, you didn't feel good. You didn't want a bunch of people in your house, right? That's kind of the biggest thing.
But you were so
thankful for what they did provide.
Yeah, right? And it could be really exhausting. Like, there's not a lot of, like, at that time when people were leaving food at my house, like, my goal for the day would be to walk 3 laps around the kitchen table.
Mm.
Like, in a day, if I could just do that. And I'm like holding onto the table and like walking. And prior to that, like easily put in 12 hours a day and then go out dancing at night and like, you know, ride 10 horses, like an abundance of energy. So to be like completely leveled,
yeah,
to where the world was like on this like inhale where it was like, it just felt very small and like, of course I would love to see a friend, but if I did, I wasn't going to make it 3 laps around that table. Like, I didn't have the energy.
And just having them there would have been a lot of energy drain.
Yeah.
Too much. Yeah.
And you're an energy person. Like, yeah. Will you get around probably to this day, if we ever get to go down and see her,
yeah,
the energy she puts off is insane. it's you just leave. Oh my gosh. Right. Cause it's so amazing. But you can tell, like she's saying, the drain was so hard that you would get yourself up for anybody.
Right.
But it would pull so much out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the goal has to be at that point to like just heal. Just heal.
Go take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You go to the hospital to get fixed, you go home to heal.
Yeah. Yep. You know, when we talked about having you on here, because of the person that I've known and then your love of animals and then that you went through something, you know, so that's why you interviewed somebody. But and you said, I don't have anything to offer it.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
No.
Like you gave somebody kind of a blueprint of how to be helpful.
Yeah.
And how to be understanding in whatever that trauma that they're going through. And I think there's
not only that, our mindset.
Mindset is
extremely important. And you gave people two views of two different mindsets to help them out.
Thank you for saying
that. And that you have a lot to offer.
Yes.
So when you told me last night that I don't have anything to offer.
I know. What am I going to talk about?
Just offered so much.
Absolutely.
And so we really appreciate you coming on our show.
Oh my gosh. I am so honored. Thank you.
Yeah. I can't wait to come down and see you. It's been a long time.
I can't wait to meet you.
Yeah. I know. It's going to be wonderful to meet you in person and hug both of you.
Yeah, she's a big hugger too. She really
is. Come on, bring it in.
And they had the high school rodeo here, so every time I see it, like it was this weekend, I always think of you.
Where are you guys now?
Lincoln.
Lincoln. Oh, that's absolutely
District 3. So
I live
right down the street from the ground. So every time I see them out there, I think of you. I've been out there. I've actually done some interviews out there and stuff like that. Amazing. And I always think of you every time I see it.
That's a song.
Every time I see it, I think of you.
Yes.
There we go. We'll get back to you on that
every
one.
Every time I see it, I think of you.
I love you very much, Shamrock. I can't wait to see you. Thank you for being on What Up with Rob and Chris.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do.
Hey, everybody. Have a great day and a better tomorrow. Thank you.
What up?
What up?